let's pray and we get to the word for today as we talk about a house divided. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. God, we ask you to take your word, make it alive to change us. We're eating this word like fresh food set on the table, God, to nourish us. We want to see ourselves changed. The engrafted word is able to transform the mind. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, we're going through a transformation process. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going through a renewing of the spirit of our minds. We need regeneration. We need to be reshaped, remolded, made over into other kinds of people to attain to the higher levels of God, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to do the works of God. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, let this word sow deeply down into the hearts of men and women. Let this word come forth 100-fold. We're bypassing 30 and 60-fold. We need 100-fold return right now because we're in austere conditions under a severe attack from the enemy. We need battle-hardened people, God, to stand up and war an effective warfare against the devil. God, send your word. Send the power of the Holy Ghost. Let that word and spirit come together and bring forth the power of Jesus in our generation. These people, God, are adrift at sea without a rudder. Folks' minds have been taken over by all kinds of contrary, unclean spirits. This is a different kind of a world full of witchcraft, sorcery, divination, and every unclean spirit. We need you, God, to do a supernatural work. Inside, you can get tired from this. Fatigue will come on you. You're sleeping more than ever because you're fighting in your spirit all day and you don't even know it. There are contrary forces afoot here, God. We need power to stand like never before. Intestinal fortitude to persevere. God, do it for your glory. Do it for your honor. Save these folks from impending disaster. The Titanic has been struck. It's sinking. We need you to bring a lifeboat alongside to save as many as you can. Do it for the name of Jesus. Do it for the honor and integrity of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right now we're talking about a house divided. Look at Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. A house divided. A house divided. Mark chapter 3. We're going to begin to read at verse 20. Mark chapter 3, verse 20. And the multitude comes together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. And the multitude comes together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. So Jesus is drawing a big crowd, casting out devils, and supernatural works are going on. So the scribes and these religious hypocrites come around saying, all this power is coming from the devil. They're calling God the devil. One of the greatest weapons of the devil is to try to bring in a foggy environment full of haze and distractions by claiming that God's work is the devil's work. He does it all the time. He'll call you a false prophet because he's a false prophet. See, he's trying to bring some kind of a doubt, some type of an illumination into your mind that's a false illumination. Remember, the devil is coming forth as an angel of light. And his ministers show up as ministers of righteousness. So the devil is accusing God of being himself the devil. I'm the devil telling you God is the devil. Man, that's a slick operation now. That's very slick. This is why you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus yourself and study to show yourself approved, a workman needing not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth for yourself. You better read it for you. Don't just read it. Ask God for the revelation of his word. A revelation brings a relationship because now you have the illumination of the word. Without that candlestick shining on the showbread, you can't see it. Neither can you understand it. So reading it is not good enough. You need a revelation of it. A revelation brings the word alive in you. It makes it alive. It's no longer just dead letter. It's a living epistle. It's alive. Because God told it to you as a rhema word, and it wasn't just logos. See, logos is the Bible laying in your lap in letter form. But the rhema is when the Holy Ghost picks it up and speaks it into you. And that's when it comes alive. So you see now, the devil is accusing Jesus of being the devil. Man, the devil is something else, isn't it? And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? How can the devil throw out the devil? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. You know that's true for everything in life. Anywhere you divide something, you also do what to it? You conquer it. You divide and conquer. You divide a husband and wife, you'll conquer that home. So your girlfriend telling you stuff about your husband really wants your husband. Now she's got you thinking contrary thoughts about your husband while she slips over to him talking about, you know, if you had a good woman like me. See, your wife is, see how argumentative, and she got the argument going by talking to her and then double back to him and said, see how argumentative she is? See, I'm really quiet and homemaker and all that arguing, and she's just so loud and abrasive. I don't see how you stand that. Then going right back to her, Johnny was with another woman. Johnny tried to hit on me. Johnny. Then he going over to Johnny saying, look at your wife. She ain't nothing but old Jezebel. Next thing you know, she divided that home and conquered the home, got crazy Johnny strung out, and got you sitting like the guy off of Home Alone, the Christmas movie. Got your home, conquered the home by doing what? Sowing discord. That's what people do in church. See, y'all still be listening to Price, but you know, Price, that joker there. I mean, you know, everything he doing ain't right either. And you see, well, okay. Let's say I'm crazy. What does that have to do with you? I can be crazy and you still can let God deal with you and you go forward and do the job. Accusations against another person won't get you in. You're here trying to get right for you so that you can make it in. See, never listen to somebody accusing other people when their life is as raggedy as a can of sauerkraut. Because folk that are not doing anything are the ones that talk the most. You got to get on with the job for you so that you be accounted worthy. See, Jesus said, pray that you be accounted worthy to escape all the things coming on the earth. You're not going to get an automatic rapture card. You got to be worthy to go in the rapture. Folks are sitting around talking about the rapture and debating it and not even going. Pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture. Which one do you believe? Bro, it don't make no difference because you ain't going anyway. Because you are not counted worthy to go. Debating all this junk and I'm not even a beneficiary of it. I'm not even going in the rapture. Talking about which version of the rapture I believe. Man, this is crazy. Religious minds are insane minds. They do a bunch of unfruitful, deadhead junk all day. And then when the rubber meets the road, got no power, got no anointing, no ability to stand. And they're running around looking for somebody to leech off of. What are we going to do? I don't know about we, bro. We is a French word for yes, is all I know. We, monsieur. We, mademoiselle. There is no we in this. You've got to be personally accounted worthy to escape this. You, it's an unseen subject of every sentence in the Bible is you. And that you is individually appointing me as the target. I've got to do this for me. I've got to go before the throne of grace alone and get my reward for what I have done in my mortal body. You better stop thinking in collective terms when it comes to your reward. Now, there is a collective church where you got brothers and sisters, but that's not going to account for your individual relationship with Jesus to get your reward. That's What did you do with what he gave you? Remember, he gave out a lot of different gifts, a lot of different treasures he handed out. And some people buried their treasures. They buried what he gave them. They didn't multiply it. You got to be in this thing, because everything in God adds and multiplies. God does not subtract and divide. He only adds and multiplies. You sow any seed, it's going to multiply and become a tree full of fruit, producing after its own kind. How in the world can you be in Christ with no productivity, no reproduction cycles taking place? Is something wrong? And you better go back to the like they said in the Monopoly game. Go back to jail or wherever you came from and start over again, because something is wrong. Life begets life in any organic organism. Life begets life. We got church folk sitting in religion, dead, wasted, unproductive, because they don't have any life. They just went into a religious organization, but they never had a life generated in them through the born again experience. You can deceive yourself in this all along the trail. You see, you know you got no life when the word of God has no ability to enthrall you. See, the word of God will stimulate you if you're alive. If you're dead to God, everything I'm saying, you're a dead person sitting here. You don't. You don't have any life. Only a living person can get this. I'm not even talking to the dead. Jesus said you're looking for the living amongst the dead. Jesus is alive. And if he's alive in you, the word of God will stimulate you, to quicken you. It'll make you jump inside. It'll make you flinch. Because it's the Holy Ghost quickening that word in you, making it alive in you. If you're dead, you're not born again, you just mentally ascended to a religious relationship you don't have, and now you sit around the saints and your mind is functioning to try to get data and information, but you got no life. That's the way you deceive yourself, when you're not born again hanging around religion. So look what he says. He says, if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. We're talking about today a house divided. If it's divided against itself, it's going to fall. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first do what? Bind the strong man. And then it will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Because they said he has an unclean spirit. You better be very careful what you put your mouth on. Because if you're talking about something the Holy Ghost did, you can find yourself in a very bad situation. John MacArthur telling you the gifts are not real, and if you're talking tongues, that's of the devil. That's a scary place to be, brother. Charles Stanley, and there are no gifts of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not doing this. Never look at extreme things and try to govern your thoughts about God based on extreme crazy people. If you got charismatic nuts out there, don't make that the litmus test for God doing something and turn on everything some nutty person did and disregard the gifts of the Spirit that the Bible says are valid. That's a bad mistake. I don't care what kook talks in tongues. The Bible talks about talking in tongues. Jesus said these signs shall follow them that believe. And one of the signs was they will talk in new tongues. So I don't care what kook is talking in tongues. I don't care what nutcase talks in tongues. My mind just focuses on what Jesus said about talking in tongues. Paul said, I talk in tongues more than you all. One of the signs of the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Acts was they began to talk in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. They came to people and said, hey, look, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Ghost. They lay hands on them. They began to talk in other tongues. So listen, never let people and religious environments contaminate your mind about what the Bible emphatically states. Let the word be true and let every man be a liar. That's how you got to walk this out, man. That way you'll stay in the middle of the road. People will tell you that Christians can't have a demon. Jacob Prash would tell you Christians can't have a demon. Hey, man, you can become so intellectual and academic that you lose all reason when dealing with situations. Don't ever let somebody tell you that experience is not valid. Experience alone is not valid. But experience must be governed by the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. I mean, if you're dealing with a situation and somebody jumps up demon possessed and they're a Christian, what am I supposed to do? You got to cast the devil out. Deliverance is the children's bread, the Bible says. If he tells you an unclean spirit is going to double back and bring seven other spirits worse than itself, find the house swept and garnished, decorated, but empty, and he'll bring seven other spirits worse than himself, and the latter state of that man is worse than the first, why would you cast the devil out of an unsaved person? And the devil's coming back. You just made the unsaved person worse. You cast the devil out of somebody that has the fortified Holy Ghost power to keep him out. And God delivers us to the degree that the Holy Ghost is filling us. When you seek God, when you pray, when you fast, you are getting yourself prepared and primed to be delivered. The devil is a compartmentalized spirit. He takes up different houses, different rooms in the house, which is your soul. You can be cleared in one area of your personality and have him contaminate another. So God progressively does what? He says, little by little, I'll drive out the enemy from before you. Because you can't take deliverance at one time, because some of us have let so many devils in. If he rendered all of those devils out of you, you lose your mind. You got to have a displacement of the devil, not a replacement of him. You got to have soulish adjustments made when you get delivered. Because you got to get strong enough to establish another strong man in you. So when that devil comes back with reinforcements, you can tell that devil, I rebuke you, because you got power to keep him off of you. You can't cast the devil out of somebody not saved, and the devil's coming back tonight, and they got no way of keeping him out. The only thing that's logical is you casting a demon out of a saved person. I mean, use your mind a little bit here. If he tells you what the devil's going to do and double back with reinforcements, hey, you got to have somebody that's got enough power to keep him off. Now you got folks running around talking about, God told me the other day, he was in a church, preacher up there preaching, and a demon manifested. The preacher shut the thing down and told everybody, hey, let's get out of here. It came to him after service talking about, you saw that? This the preacher. Did you see that man? I didn't want to do nothing with him because they said them things will come out and jump into you. The preacher? The pastor? What did he bargain for? Something real happening. He was going through religious works, and when something real showed up, totally unequipped to handle it. Because he was a what? An unbeliever. He says, these signs follow the believers. You shall cast out devils. If you never expect one to manifest and it does, you don't know what to do. You're trying to keep some kind of an environment that's not offensive to the people. So, man, get telling deacons, get them out of here. Ushers, y'all get them on out. Get them on downstairs. I apologize. That person probably has a psychological problem. And I think they're on some kind of a psychotropic drug, and we apologize for the disturbance. Now let's go on here with what we're reading here. Let's see here. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3. Look, man, I see all this dead junk. What the young people are thriving off of in the world is activity. They don't come to church because there ain't no action. You want a real good warfare to break out. People get around and warfare is for real. You want to be where the action is. Now we got dead head, dried up church folks sitting around, going to church this morning at 10 o'clock, they're out by 11:30, sitting around listening to somebody give announcements, a few songs, somebody preach some old silly sermonette, a woman sing a song to end the service, a dismissal, and now we got a potluck dinner in the basement after the service. And that's church. It's just a dead mausoleum that has no life in it. But see, until the people of God rise up, a remnant people rises up, and they seek the Lord for some type of a turbine to turn on and begin to spin with power, you'll just have this dead, dormant junk laying around on the ground, having no benefit for anybody. So you see now, he says, now you're in danger of blaspheming the Holy Ghost, man. I cast out the devil with the power of the Holy Ghost, and you called it the devil. You better be very careful, because you're in danger of eternal damnation. And he said, because they said he had an unclean spirit. They called the Holy Ghost an unclean spirit. That's scary right there. Now, you better be very slow to speak and quick to hear in this. Before you open your mouth, you better know what you're talking about, because you're going to put your hand on the wrong thing and find yourself eternally damned. Look at Matthew chapter 10. A house divided, it can't stand. A house divided. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. You know, you pray and you ask God, God, I sure would like you to dole that out again. Yes. Man, dealing with these demons and to heal everybody. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, that was the black guy. Did y'all know one of the disciples was black? I mean, he was what he used to call a Nubian black guy. See, the Israelites are really Hebrews. They're Semitic people. Now you got these black folks trying to be the Israelites. They had the riot over in North Carolina yesterday with blacks and whites out there fighting because they let the demons of the New World Order instigate a house divided. That's how the rich rule over the poor. They make the blacks and whites clash and take everybody's money. They're taking everybody's money by turning the blacks on the whites, making you think that the white Ku Klux Klansman is your enemy, or the black guy standing there with a black power shirt on is your enemy, while the rich man is cutting off all your money while you fighting each other in the street, killing each other like fools. Amen. That's right. It's not a racial thing. It's a money, non-money thing. It's a rich over the poor. They stimulate the divisions in the house because you divide and conquer. People are getting paid to stimulate racial differences, to stimulate struggles in the street. That looked like 1953 yesterday. Same thing. Folks standing there with attack dogs and the state troopers standing there and all this stuff. That looked like a 1953, 1960 civil rights march. Clashes in the street. Can't you see that time is running in reverse? People are reverting back to tribal, uneducated, low down, just stupid, low class, tribal living. That's why people got all these tribal markings on them. Tattoos are not new. These are tribal markings. You mark yourself up under the inspiration of the demons, and you think it's something new. Every tribe has tribal markings. The devil got into your head, made you believe a lie, and you follow the fashions of the world and fall right in line with the devil's inspirations for your life. So you see now, he's dividing the house. He's causing calamity. The devil causes problems so he can solve them. He's going to cause calamity, chaos, and anarchy so that the Antichrist can solve the problems. You can't see it stirring up. He's stirring it up for a reason. He wants all kinds of anarchy on the streets. He wants all this confusion and wars and rumors of wars so that his son, the Antichrist, can come as the savior of humanity. An angel of light, a minister of righteousness. This is all being done on purpose by master puppeteers. If you look to the person at the top of the pyramid, you got to go metaphysical to see him because it's a cherubim angel sitting there. The devil is pulling these strings. Satan is a master manipulator. He's got folks on the streets beating each other half to death under his inspiration and the demons he placed in them. And they have no clue. And then you jump on board trying to stand for blacks or stand for whites or stand for Trump or stand against Trump. Or I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. Won't you become a Christian and leave these crazy folks alone and get that brainwashing out of your head that came from the Matrix? You've been made into a pawn in the devil's chess game with your mind plugged into the Matrix. And every input coming from CNN and Fox News and MSNBC, you believe it and begin to now say it out of your mouth as if it's truth. Man, where's the Bible in your mouth? Where's the Word of God in your mouth? Not what Don Lemon said on CNN. That's crazy. The Christian, the professing Christian that's not really a Christian at all, has been drawn right into the devil's paradigm. Playing them like a guitar, playing them like an instrument, got their minds totally taken over by the devil, believing I'm serving God. It's a trick. You got to get your mind out of here. So he's picking out these disciples, Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into the city of the Samaritans, enter you not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, proclaim, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. In other words, as you go forth doing the works, the people from a spirit of gratitude will provide for you. The workman is worthy of his hire. Don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. When you go forth really with power to help people, a reciprocal reaction will take place in them. They'll help you. They'll give what you need because you're helping them. It'll happen all by itself. But see, when people are bound by the devil, they don't even know what God is. They don't even know what to give to because religion has them tied up. Into whatever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. See, what he's dealing with here is what I call and you know as vibes. Vibes. You have walked into a place and got the wrong vibes. You walk into a Klan meeting by mistake and you're black. Something don't feel right up in here. I'm getting the wrong vibes. But you know what causes vibes? What causes vibes is the fact that you're a spirit And your insides vibrate at different frequencies based on environmental changes. Emotional states in you will call vibes in you. You'll begin to vibrate slower or faster based on what's stimulating it. If you get upset, you can feel the vibration inside of you will begin to intensify. So you pick up bad vibes, it's somebody in there vibrating. If I hit a demon in here, it's going to vibrate. It's going to be. And I don't know it. I can feel it in people. I can feel it when I'm up and talking. That's why I go take it further. And then you get them to vibrate real fast, you know, because they get nervous. When you're nervous, you're vibrating inside. You ever seen somebody, it'll work its way outside, you begin to shake. Yeah. Get nervous and be, can you get me something to drink? Man, this thing got me shook up. Right. You ever seen a person come to a conference for the first time at a delivery service? They came out, you know, with little small eyes. They come out there, I'd be. Eyes get, you know, 20 centimeters wider because they saw a demon cast out. And they get scared. What's scared? The demon in them. See, demons, when they get scared, they begin to vibrate. That's how you can pick them up. That's why you begin to get nervous and shook up because of the thinking. You brought it into an environment that it didn't plan on. And see, if the Holy Spirit begins to rise, they'll vibrate more because it gets intense. So that's what you pick up in environments. If the more spiritual you become under the auspices of the Holy Ghost, the more you can read environments. You'll know what's wrong. You know what's unclean. You'll even know what people are thinking. The Bible says a lot of times, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said thus and thus to them. And see, that's what happens when you let God begin to fill the vessel. You'll look like everybody else, but you're carrying other senses to perceive things that they don't have. They're not privy to it because the Holy Ghost has to take over your senses to understand that which has happened in the soulless realm and in the spirit. But see, vibrations are real. You'll vibrate faster or slower based on the stimuli that's interacting with you. If you're at peace, you'll vibrate real slow inside because you're peaceful. There won't be that nervousness. There won't be an anxiety. And you'll walk into a room and say, you know what? It's so peaceful in this place. I go into a home and say, you know, your house is so peaceful. No arguments taking place there. No cussing. No nasty mess. Nobody watching porno. No stank folks hanging around. And it's peaceful. But boy, when you got a wrong spirit in a place, you can pick it up. It's something up in here, man. The vibrations, we call it vibes. I'm picking up bad vibes. Talking to you. Carrie, you're getting off some bad vibes. Where you been? What you been doing? Huh? Something ain't right. This ain't the normal you. See, you can change. Go somewhere and fornicate and walk amongst Christian folk for real. So, I mean, talking about saints of God, they're going to pick up their fornication. Child, look, come here. After service, I need to talk to you. Something ain't right. What you want? Just calm down. Calm down. The vibes just ain't right. And see, that's how it works. And that's why folks get nervous around the real saints, because you can pick up the vibrations. Vibrations create what we call an aura you walk in. You walk in an aura. Did you know that? If you're a whorish woman, did you know you walk around like Pigpen with a cloud of dust behind you? You can be sharp of the tack. But something ain't right, man. I sense hole. I sense hole up in here. There's hole somewhere up in here. See, you got the vibe. I'm putting off vibes. And you think I say that women can do it better than a guy? And look at her coming slousing in here. Now, look at that. Slousing. Is that a word? That is now. That is. Contact Webster and let Webster know there's a new word added to the dictionary. It's called slousies. Slousies. Slousing. Come slousing up here somewhere. No, and then look at that old whole walk, you know, because you picking up vibes. You hug a woman, that joke, that's full of lust. How you know? It felt nasty when he hugged me. It just nasty. I could feel. This joker full of lust. Stay away from, don't hug me. You start shaking his hand or saying hey across the room because the vibes. See, that's what it's all about. That's why it says, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. See, you came in to put peace in the environment, but it came back on you. It wasn't receptive. And you could feel that the reception was not accommodating you. And your peace came back on you. He said, get out of there. Because they don't want you. You came representing the Prince of Peace and nobody wanted peace. Get out of there and kick the dust off of your feet as a witness against them. This is all real now. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and they will scourge you in their synagogues. You can transpose the word churches in there. If you've ever been in church and came to the realization of who Jesus was, you'll get a scourging from the pulpit. Right. They'll tongue lash you. Yeah, right. Because you can see that devil in that preacher. So they tongue lash you to turn the rest of the congregation against you because you can see that devil. And the devil is infecting and affecting the minds of the people in the church to see you as the devil because that devil has their minds under control. They'll still scourge you in the synagogues. Now it's the church, but it's not a cat of nine tails and a whip. It's the mouth. It's a tongue lashing. That's why if you get into this, I've been there. Barbara can tell you, I've been in church with them just beating me down like a dog. But I always used to always say, somebody right, buddy, and somebody wrong. Because I read my Bible for myself. I studied to show myself approved. I fasted and prayed for me. And buddy, if you ain't right, you just ain't right, bro. And somebody gonna make a stand. The song says, I decided to make a stand. I didn't know I'd lose all of my friends. But I'd rather live right than be in hell, opening up, lifting up my eye. So you got to make a stand. You got to stand in your home. You got to stand on your job. Don't compromise as a woman and you're married to an unsaved man, wanting to still conduct all kind of sexual depravity with you. Look, man, I love you, I married you and everything, but I got to stand. I'm not doing this filth anymore, and you need to be delivered. You need to be born again to get that filthy, unclean devil out of your soul. And if the unbeliever depart in such circumstances, you are not bound. Because you made what? A stand. And when you stand, God will stand up with you if you stand on the side of righteousness. When Peter, James, and John stood, God stood with them. When Stephen made a stand, Jesus stood to salute that boy because, hey, he's standing for me. Bless God, I'm standing for him. He stood for me on earth. I stand before the Father at his right hand to represent Stephen. And when he died and came home, he came home to a standing ovation. I guarantee you the clouds of witnesses were commanded, stand. Because the boy is coming in hot. That's how you want to leave here. Stop cowering down to the devil. Stop being a jellyback. Stop being a tenderoni. Somebody's got to make a stand. How long are you going to back up? Somebody's right. And somebody's wrong. And you got to make a stand. This is getting ridiculous. Everybody backing up? They'll scourge you in the synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake. For a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Why are you going to court? I'm here to testify against the judge. I'm making a stand for God in here. I'm just the one that's right. He puts you in these places before governors and presidents and all these people that are officials because you're testifying against them and the Gentiles that serve the devil. You're a witness for Jesus, and he'll put you in austere conditions that appear into the flesh as austere, but really you're just an ambassador sent in to be a witness. There's somebody that sits higher than that judge in that black robe. You better know that. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to what?
Death.
Get rid of this stupid kingdom now doctrine. Telling you that Miles Monroe taught this trash about taking the world for God. If you bathed in that Miles Monroe doctrine, you better data dump that trash. Earl Polk out here at the Cathedral of the Holy Spirit used to be Chapel Hill Harvester. Kingdom now. It's garbage. People say, well, isn't the kingdom now? Yes. But it's without observation. You can't see it. The kingdom is within you. He's not trying to take this world over and sanctify the arts and the educational institutions and the government and trying to somehow cleanse Hollywood and sanctify it. That's garbage, man. He's not trying to sanctify the arts. The whole world lies in the wicked one. The kingdom has come, but the kingdom has come within you via the Holy Ghost filling you. Wherever the Holy Ghost flows unrestricted, that's the only place that the kingdom has come.
Amen.
That's it. Stop trying to conquer territory for God. These are the people making decrees over everything. I decree. That's all that religious junk they've been taught. I'm decreeing over my job promotion. I'm decreeing. Anytime you hear somebody talking about decreeing, they're in a decreeing deception. A lot of stuff ain't going to change because it is written.
That's right.
The Antichrist will be given power over the saints to wear out the saints.
Yes, that's right.
It is written.
Right.
There's going to be an Antichrist system. There's going to be a cashless society. There is going to be a mark of the beast. This world is damned because the God of this world is already judged.
Right.
You can't fix that. You got to sanctify yourself via the Holy Ghost to be an ambassador and witness for Christ while you have this limited time on this earth that God calls nothing but a vapor, a puff of smoke, an eternal being, and you lived 80 years. He can't even keep track of you being alive. God is forever living and you live for 80 years. You didn't even matter. You're a blip on the radar screen. And here we are caught up in trying to hold on to something that if you don't leave, it is going to leave you. Either the world will be burned up, you'll die out of it. So why would you put any permanence to this when you're dying as you sit here? That's crazy. That's why we'll raise up something like a dunamis tabernacle and care nothing about it, because it's going to be burned up with everything else. There is no hope in this world. If you have hope only in this world, you are of all men most miserable, because from dust you were formed and to dust you'll return. Why would you put any emphasis down on this? Says your brother that you played in the crib with, that you used to play football with, that you used to play basketball with, your brother you were born with in your household, that person will deliver you up to death. And the father, the child, yeah, your daddy, will take you out to be killed at the guillotine. He'll sit there and watch you swing from a pole, huh?
Right.
Your daddy will deliver you up to death. The Bible says, this ain't me talking now. You better read this Bible and stop trying to befriend all your family members talking about this blood is thicker than water. No, Jesus' blood is thicker than water, but not the person that you were born to, because they'll turn on you. You haven't figured out yet that your family will turn on you?
Right.
Only those that are saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
He says, the father going to deliver the child to them. Now this is what I'm talking about, getting killed. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to what? You better stop trying to call that stupid kid of yours, because they'll get you killed. What's he describing here? The self-life. When the Antichrist comes to power and that Antichrist spirit permeates the environment, I'm only thinking about saving one person, me. And if you hate Christians and you want to kill them, I'm not one, but she is. She might be my daughter, but hey, she looked better in that casket than me. You watch it unfold just like I'm saying. You better get out of your emotions and your feelings. Here you are, got the devil in your house talking about my family and blood is thicker than water. See, people hate these kinds of messages. It offends people. But you can't see that person as evil lurking. You can't see your mama in that spirit she walk under. She was happy as long as you was a slave sitting in that Baptist church with her. But as soon as you found the Lord, girl, you in a cult. You in a cult. That fool done brainwashed you. You was raised. I raised you in this church. I raised you properly. And then she cussing at you. You stupid old so-and-so. You MF initial. Oh, I thought you was a Christian, Mom. Why you shacking up with Mr. Johnny for the last 30 years and you a Christian? On the motherboard, but shacking up with this man. You never married this man. That's not of God. Look here. I raised you. You don't come to me. Trying to tell me nothing. I raised you. I took you. I brought you in this world, and I'll take you out of it. You don't come to your mama. What you think you doing? That old bomb over there in the hotel got you brainwashed. Right, raised. Don't you raise up to me. I'll kill you as soon as I look at y'all. That's your mama. That's your mama talking to you. Because your mama is full of the devil. And the works of her father, she will do. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. You sell out to Jesus, you better start seeing the world from another take, man. You better look at it from another point of view. I'm telling you, you'll get yourself killed trying to drag your relatives downstream. And you're dragging the devil down the street with you. You better let these folks, they tried to leave you, let them go. Talking about, no, baby, don't leave them. No, man. Hey, all your stuff to the left, bro. To the left. Even Beyonce had enough sense to know, to the left. Because look, you're going to be fooling around with the devil at the most inopportune time. We're at the end of the world, and here you are congregating and fellowshipping with the devil in your own household. And he's telling you, they'll kill you. He's trying to warn. This is Jesus talking. This is red letters in my Bible. Yes. Said the children will rise up and cause you to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end shall be futuristically saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master. Now, if they crucified Jesus, you think they're going to do you any better? The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? They hate you. Who is Beelzebub? He's the Lord of the flies. Who was he? He was the demon that governed the feces dump outside the city. Jesus is the Lord of the feces dump. So that tells you what they think of you. You're nothing but a pile of you know what to them. And here you are trying to court their favor, trying to be their friend. You just a pile of feces. I like it like that. I embrace that. You got to love to be hated by the world. You got to walk in environments and just walk in oblivious to them. Still fishing your plate at the barbecue. Speaking to everybody, hey there, how you doing, auntie? Hey there, bro, hey. At the family reunion, everybody hates your guts. Y'all got more of that lemonade. I love that lemonade. Where's that stuff at? Hey, who made these ribs? They sure are good. They just hate and despise me. I can't stand them. I hate them. And you just walking in the midst of it. You gotta learn to like it. like them hating you.
Yes.
Like the fact that you irritate everybody. That's because the Lord's Spirit is resting on you. That's why you embrace it.
Yes.
Stop being, get over being rejected.
Yes.
See, all these are the wounds the devil inflicts you with so you can't stand.
Right.
I can't stand for nobody not to like me, and I'm trying to find a way to make you like me, and don't cuss at me. Don't look how you're looking at me. I didn't mean no harm when I said what I said. I'm apologizing for what I said. Why'd a so-called Christian say something about something? Look how they get them on TV. Well, you know, they start walking it back.
Yeah.
Not me. You take it up higher when you got them.
Yeah, that's right.
You had the nerve to bring me on CNN. Well, let me tell you this, Don Lemon. As a sodomite, you got no moral authority to tell me anything, bro.
That's right.
We're going to get this straight right now. They go into a commercial. Because you got to be on there like that, like,
yeah.
I never thought. I ain't Joel Osteen, bro. I ain't T.D. Jakes, bro.
You
got to ask God to let you go off.
Yeah.
God, when I go in here, let me go off. What are you the timid one for?
Right.
What are you the tender running for? Why has everybody got a boot on your neck and you're the Son of God, the manifested Son of God, and you got to get in the back of the bus all the time? They dictating everything to you, telling you how life is, telling you about Jesus, and they don't even know him. No, man, this ought not to be. Like the Bible says, these things ought not to be, my brethren. He's ain't going to hate your guts. You're going to be like your master. They call him the Lord of the dunghill. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, now how is it going to be revealed? He's going to tell it to you in secret for you to say it in the light. Now what he's getting up to here is, do you have the guts to stand? When you get what? The repercussions coming back at you for what you said. Can you take the counter strike? Or are you going to just wither up because you got no guts to stand? See, everybody talking about being saved, everybody can't represent Jesus because they ain't got their test of fortitude to stand. They're gutless and spineless. It's really happened to guys real bad. Guys have been gutted. And when you talk to them like I'm talking now, why is he talking so hard? His tongue was so loud and abrasive. This is the guy talking now. He seemed like he was so angry at someone, and the anger just permeated the atmosphere. And you got women of war just in here ready to got a sword drawn and everything, ready to take. And the guy, wait a minute, I don't think you should put that sword away. Put that sword away. And that's the guy. Now, you know good and well a guy's not like that. If you ever played football and you had a coach cussing at you and yelling at you, you just stood there and took it. In the military, they taught you, man, call you stuff that I don't even know if that's a word, the cuss words they used. And now you get in church. Why is he so abrasive? That's not the Lord. Be on his tiptoe like a ballerina, you know. That's not the Lord. Man, what is wrong with you? Who, you Cinderfella or somebody? Cinderfella. Man, get some gonads, man. I'm going to show you what happened to his gonads in just a minute. This is bad. And they'll make all kinds of excuses for not being a man. I mean, they'll think of a million reasons for not being a man. Well, I just believe the Lord, not like that. I believe the Lord is compassionate. The Lord shows love now. You got to be balancing this, and, you know, Price is kind of heavy-handed. He kind of, that's heavy shepherding. You call that heavy shepherding? He's heavy-handed and he's loud. And see, God knows how to come with compassion and love also. But at the same time, see, the devil in you wants you to walk in a pseudo-love. A love that's emotion-based is not love, because love is not an emotion. Love is the presence of God. God is love.